Hayes Catering is a small company run by two brothers, selling food at festivals across the UK. But when COVID struck, the plug was pulled on live events. To help fill the gap, Barclays provided them with a loan so they could diversify their business. And now that live music is back, so are Hayes Catering. Grow your business. Bank on Barclays. Search Barclays Business Banking.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. Is that Sunter over there?
Hello.
I think it is. Hey, who's next to Sunter? Could be the Woodman.
Hello.
Hi, Woodman.
Hi.
And who's that lurking behind the screens? Well, if it ain't little Si.
Hello.
And who's that big guy looming over proceedings? Why, it's Big Simon. This week on your podcast, Planet of the Apes could become a reality. We have the latest.
Yeah.
Plus, forget fear of missing out. I've got a new fear. Yeah? I'm going to be doing a new fear every week. And rules is rules. The Woodman's got some sticklers stickling away in his heroic little slot where they are laying down the law. Enjoy.
Radio X.
How was your weekend, Dr. Summerton?
Great, thank you. How was yours?
Yes, good. But you batted that back really fast.
I didn't do anything interesting. Very quiet.
Okay.
I read an entire book.
In future when you do, which book?
It's called The Collini Affair, or The Collini...
Colleen Rooney?
Collini...
Colleen Rooney story.
Case?
Colleen Rooney.
The Colleen case.
The Colleen.
No, it's a...
Rooney.
Colleen. Rooney. Colleen Rooney story. So you read Colleen's
biography?
The Collini
case.
The Collini, yes.
Colleen Rooney.
Sure. What did you do, Gav?
If
you're going to bat it back quickly...
I will bat it back. I did a bit of woodwork, and then I watched the football.
Nice.
And that'll do me.
Okay, let's move on from that.
Go on.
What I did, I've got a new thing.
What?
I was fobbed off. Fobbed off.
What? Well, why do you keep enunciating the T?
Fobbed. Not FOMO. Fobbed.
Not fobbed.
Yeah, when you fobbed off.
Okay.
Where I have to be very careful since the passing of my great friend Sean Locke, who I used to sit next to at Chelsea every week.
Yeah.
I have to be quite careful I go to football with, because I can get a bit depressed down there.
Right.
Yeah? So not a couple with what's on the pitch, which doesn't help either.
Yeah.
At least that never used to bother Sean and I particularly.
Right.
So Sunday, I had two spare tickets because my butchers didn't want to go. Sorry, one of the other chaps I sit with didn't want to go either, so I had these tickets.
Yeah.
And then the people I'd invited, they said, we can't make it up.
Oh.
So I was thinking, I'm going to go mad, aren't I? To watch Chelsea play Wolves.
Yeah.
And then I looked at my family, I suddenly thought, I've got to now turn around to little Milton and say, I love you, but I prefer to watch a really shocking, I nearly swore then, shockingly bad, gutless team of overpaid professionals get beaten by a fairly indifferent West Midlands club than hang around with you two.
Aww.
And you'd have had some confidence in that arrangement.
I didn't.
So you didn't go?
No, because of fobbed.
So what's
fear of
fear of being there? I got an actual fear, rather than fear of missing out. I got this fear of actually being there. So I had a real touch. I decided I'm not going to go to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the joy you get when you lose and you're not there.
Oh, the hindsight.
No, it's like those awful people I can't stand not that I can't stand, but annoy me at games when they bet against Chelsea.
Yeah.
They go, well, I'm going to win either way.
Yeah, that's,
I think, well, not really, because you're going to annoy me for a start. Yeah. And also, it might be you that's cursed us.
Right.
You know, that could be the butterfly flapping it. That betting slip might be the butterfly flapping its wings in the... That suddenly starts the earth, you know, it's cause and effect. Yeah, chaos, not chaos theory, because it's not actually chaotic. It's a chain of events, isn't it? Which isn't that chaotic.
Mm.
So I was really happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vanessa had a kippo because she hasn't been that well.
I spent
a whole afternoon just playing with milk. Had a fantastic afternoon.
Great.
And we made an assault course in the sitting room. And I didn't
with
even...
And
it turns out the game was at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Yeah. Now, normally you think they're going to televise that.
Yeah.
No.
Even better.
Five Live Extra it was on. That was where the coverage of that game was, because they smelt a lack of entertainment there.
You went ahead as well and then lost.
It turns out that the actual people who buy sports rights, they also had a fear of being there.
Yeah, right.
And everyone knew this was going to be a dog, apart from Wolverhampton fans who are a bit thin on the ground.
Yeah. You made the right call then.
Great call.
Great.
Had a fantastic Sunday.
You didn't miss out at all.
No, I didn't miss out at all. I was really pleased. I just like, Gav,
The biggest let-off I ever got, in hindsight, was my brother invited me to come up with him on the Millennium Year to come up to Trafalgar Square.
Right.
He ended up having to walk home.
What, to
Surrey. From central London.
For New Year's Eve into the year 2000.
In the millennium. It was the dumbest idea ever because everyone was there.
But you already got fobbed rather than FOMO.
I was so smug the next morning.
Well, Trafalgar Square, New Year's Eve, I've done it myself. And the only thing that drives you there is a sort of FOMO. You sort of think, we must be there.
That's right,
but No. Ever since, now I've been. As I look back, it's like, fobbed.
It's like being at a really full gig, but without a band.
Yes, it was. It's like a gig with or a point.
Yeah, right.
Or a point.
But it's actually like a bus queue. Yeah. Every bus in London has decided to meet somewhere without any buses decided to join the party.
And there's a few fireworks, obviously. And all that. Yeah, but,
fireworks.
Short-lived joy.
Fireworks. 83936, your cases are fobbed, please. Fear of being there has led you not to go there. And my goodness, what a good decision. Gav. What you got?
Evening, TJ and the gang. I've never had to worry about fobbed, as I'm an on-call hydraulic engineer. Anytime I get asked to do something or go somewhere I don't fancy, I always reply with, I'd have loved to come, but I'm on call that day.
It's a perfect excuse, but it's not a crystal clear example.
No.
So what have you got of an example of fobbedness?
Okay, there's no name on this. It says, hi, TJ and the gang. My fobbed occurred today. My alarm went off as usual for work on a Monday morning. I woke up and decided not to go in. Turns out it was a great decision. Work was busy and I got to sit at home watching TV, have an afternoon nap and listen to you guys. I'll remain anonymous for fear of being found out.
What a day.
What a day indeed. I'll tell you something. Monday's spent. If you get a Monday off, you feel sure that in the second week, God probably did that.
Definitely.
I know it was on the seventh day he rested, but I bet on the eighth
that Monday.
Week one was so tough. I bet he thought, you know what, I might just start on day two this week.
Yeah. That's when he invented the bank holiday, I presume. What they're for.
Well, you're saying on the eighth day, God decided, you know what, I really worked hard week one.
We should do this again.
Or he just thought, well, I've done, there's nothing left to do. Because there wasn't.
Although it's the unexpected Monday off that's the real cherry.
Or sicky, as we call it. Went to my mate stag do, left early.
Yeah.
Due to being a little bit unwell.
Yeah.
They all called me a wuss, which they would do.
Yeah.
Next day, woke up, found out they'd all got arrested. Spent the night in a police station. Says Phil, that's a great.
That's perfect.
That's a great fear of being there. It's marvellous. And how about this? Toyed with the idea of joining with the office karaoke last night.
Mm.
I thought my colleagues might benefit from my classic combination of bants and spirit.
Yeah.
Didn't go.
Yeah.
Found out there were three pitch-perfect duets and a rendition of Aladdin in Italian.
Oh, my God.
That I didn't waste my distinctive suburban take on Eminem, Lose Yourself, on that bunch of X Factor wannabes. That's Andrew and T. Wells. Fobbed. Mates had a spare ticket for Rainbow at Wembley Arena.
Wow.
Oh, Noel Gallagher would be jealous. He loves Rainbow.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
That was a really weird thing to discover.
That was funny as hell.
It was great, wasn't it? I chose not to go. I just had the fear of being there.
Yeah.
That was the night Richie Blackmore had a hissy fit. They played for 20 minutes only, then he walked out. Wembley Arena was then turned into a mass brawl with chairs thrown, police cars overturned.
Oh my God.
One of my mates ended up in hospital overnight with head injuries. Yeah. Luckily, I was at home watching the Generation game. You know what? Nice to see you.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing. Radio X.
Right, three quick stories for you just to brighten up your dinner this evening.
Go on.
Gender-neutral hairdos given short shrift.
Oh, yeah.
This is in Belgium. Mm. They're part therapists, part structural engineers. They're also a source of the best gossip and offer a shoulder to cry on. They also cut your hair. Now, economic demands are being added to the expectation of Belgian hairdressers. There is a growing unease among the professionals' suggestions there should be one rate for a trim.
Right.
Ah.
At the moment, obviously, it's... Can I just say, if you want a gender-neutral haircut, Glasgow.
I'll be honest, when my hair was pretty short, I used to just go into the barbers and get a trim.
Yeah, right.
Because that's all they need to do. You're keeping the same cut.
Exactly. And it was taking like a centimetre off. That was it.
Yep. You ever cried on a barber?
Yeah. Recently.
Have you? You cried on a barber?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Many times. Do you know something, though? In Glasgow, it's just the only option, isn't it? It's this is what Big Paul, my old Glaswegian landlord, said.
Yeah.
He said the way you can tell the difference is if the pointy side buns.
Right.
So it's a short back and sides for either he says, that's probably, men or women.
That's probably a woman.
Yeah.
That's what Big Paul said to me.
Yeah.
If it's got pointy buns.
Yeah.
Or a Star Trekky.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But it's quite gender neutral. This is what Paul told me. Mm. He's a Glaswegian. Sure. I hope by repeating it, I've insulted anyone. Though my great granny was a McLaren. Mm. God, she was fast.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Next up, owners of a £25 million party boat.
Party boat?
That's for party. It's longer than any commercial airliner. For me, I don't see why that's relevant. It's a boat.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's no comparison.
Well, you can't measure boats as planes.
Bigger than an airline. Yeah, yeah, it makes no sense.
How big is it? Bigger than a plane.
Mm.
Yeah, probably.
Right. It's massive, though. Ocean Diva, 86 metres, with room for up to 1,500 guests, is heading up for EU waters after its owners concluded there were too many obstacles to operate it on the Thames.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They want to have a boat that you can have 1,500 people on.
On the Thames.
On the Thames.
And it feels too big for the Thames.
Party.
Yeah, what do you reckon? Party boat.
It's a new way to cross the Thames. No, you just go on one side and off the other.
Because once you've pushed off, there's no restrictions. Once you're 12 miles out, there's no one can stop you doing anything there.
Wow.
You can just party.
You can just keep partying
all
the way to France.
Miles out in the Thames, though,
can you? Can really party. No, but you can. The Thames goes right out to Kent, doesn't it? You've got 1,500 people.
You've got to keep going.
I know, but it's 86 metres long and people just have an 86 metre party.
I love a boat party.
Oh, they're great fun, but you can basically just get on it and can and just party. Anyway.
Makes me think of Step Brothers.
Anyway.
Prestige Worldwide.
Yeah. It's owned by the Smart Group.
Oh, yeah.
The entertainment company that would have managed the boat because they'd have leased it from the owners on a buyback basis. Ocean Diva, larger than any entertainment boat in British rivers, was meant to begin hosting events in spring this year, but didn't get its license.
Oh, my God, it's huge.
Just push out to sea and party.
Just party away.
And lastly, where did that guy hold the meeting?
Where? Yeah.
Horseback.
What?
Oh, that's so old school.
He was on horseback and would refuse to get off the horse while he's having a meeting to discuss childcare with one of his employees.
Wow.
Just stayed on the horse.
Yeah, that's quite rude.
Yeah. Really rude. Sorry. It's now time to thank our partner for this episode, NHS Talking Therapies. For anyone struggling to cope with feelings of depression, excessive worry, social anxiety, post-traumatic stress or obsessions and compulsions, seeking help through NHS Talking Therapies can be one of the best steps a person can take to overcome their mental health issues and get back on track. NHS Talking Therapies, delivered by trained clinicians, are a free, effective and confidential way to treat common mental health issues. They can be offered in several ways, including online, on the phone or in person. Your GP can refer you for NHS Talking Therapies, or you can refer yourself online, nhs.uk/talk. Thanks again to NHS Talking Therapies for supporting this podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
So, the Royal Navy, I see, is working on a bold new strategy, guys.
What are they doing?
Well, they've created, you know, like in America, they're very good at naming aircraft carriers after sort of people.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the USS...
Nimitz.
No, but the full name.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The USS Jonathan K. Westmoreland.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. There's even a John Paul Jones, isn't there?
There is a John Paul Jones. Yeah. It's not the Led Zeppelin basis.
Right.
I found out.
Such a shame.
For a while, I did think, that is genius.
Yeah, because you'd think America rocks. They really
well,
be
no, but no, the only it was an aircraft carrier as well. It's like an aircraft
proper,
carrier. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking, I love that, though.
And now the USS Jimmy
John
Page.
Bonham. Yeah. No, the James Page.
Yeah. The John Henry Barnum.
The John. It would be. No, but also, it'd be really good if it was the Led Zepp class.
Oh, man.
The Led Zepp class attack ship. You know, there they all were. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. It's not happening, is it?
No.
It's not happening.
It's a dream you can forget. Yeah.
You remember Britain we decided the Royal Navy commissioned the Queen Elizabeth aircraft carrier for all these wars we're fighting everywhere.
Sure.
Around the world, all the time. Mm. It's a really tough time for the defence industry because a lot of economies depend on it. Ours, the French, huge on it. The Swedes, massive on it. Hence, even they've got involved in NATO now, just to show they're still enthusiastic for war, the amount of money they make out of it.
And there's pretty much one weapons manufacturer in every single state of America.
Of America, yeah. Oh, but, no, but plus, it also bleeds into all the others, because that sector that stopped making commercial aircraft engines, it sort of bleeds through. Anyway, so there's not really a lot going on. They're going to really stir it all up, because no one's really sort of threatening them. They're just sort of skirmishing, but they're not going to drop the big one.
No.
Anyway, so what do we do? The answer is, you've got to look like you're still keen and up for it, because Americans demand you spend 2% of your GDP to stay in NATO. So you spend that money, but now what are we going to do? We can't really afford to have this. So you create the equivalent in Britain of the USS, the HMS Darren Anderton.
What's the HMS Darren Anderton?
It's like a sick note aircraft carrier.
Well, that always needs a bit of work.
Yes, you keep it invited because if you have a carrier, you need a carrier group.
Yes.
Now that includes a submarine, like two destroyers,
couple of destroyers,
another boat,
couple of frigates, a load of supply ships.
You can't just have one of those on its own.
No.
Of course you can't. It needs it's got to have, weirdly, it needs security.
It does.
I was really surprised that when you drive around London, you go past barracks or installations, or you get on horse guards. What's incredible is they've always got security guards outside.
I know, it's mad.
Like even MI6, when you go past there, you start thinking, aren't you in that game?
Yes.
Why have you got bouncers on the door?
Yeah.
They look like private contractors. You know, maybe get some guys in there. Maybe you got some suitable guys to run security within military intelligence. Anyway, let's crack on with this.
Yeah.
So you got the HMS, Queen Elizabeth said, the HMS Darren Anderton.
Mm.
And the Royal Navy has suffered an embarrassing setback.
Why?
After mechanical problems stopped the aircraft carrier HMS Queen Elizabeth from leading the largest NATO exercise since the Cold War. Yes, because it's a waste of money.
Right.
It's a waste of money.
How does it break? It's brand new, that thing.
Yeah, right.
How is it still broken already?
It hasn't. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It hasn't.
They just don't want to pay for the exercise.
It's a waste of money.
Right.
We haven't got also, it's embarrassing. They might see that we haven't quite got the backup.
Yeah, you know, or no planes on it or anything.
You know, it's like being sick for training.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the actual, but final.
Yeah, not the actual game. Yes. Yeah.
We're good enough for the final, honestly. There's not a lot you can do. It's all about the planes. The aircraft carrier does nothing. It's just going to be in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do anything.
There's 4.5 acres of sovereign territory anywhere on the planet, John.
Right. It's not like the captain of an aircraft, the commander of an aircraft carrier. It's got to go, left here, now quick. They won't see it. Now right up there.
No, they're not.
They've either got you or they haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the planes on that thing, yeah?
It is, yeah.
And they're fine. They can all fly.
They can, yeah.
So it literally is like, don't risk it in training. Don't worry, they'll play for the final. And also makes you look a bit sick. Fergie, famous for that. You know, looks like when it was Fergie, he was always forever saying that like Van Nistelrooy was off the hamstrings.
Oh, it's very unlikely he'll play on Sunday.
Wayne Rooney, again, we're going to have to take a long, hard look at Wayne's groin.
Lowering expectations.
Right.
Yes.
And suddenly, oh, God, it's here!
And he's up and fighting suddenly.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't get that on a training exercise.
Mm.
God's sake. Also, you don't get the adrenaline there. Unless, of course, you're one of the perishers, the submarine lot. Because that's always quite exciting if you get involved in that. And I should know. Radio X. We're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nicknames. Enough, Gav.
Mm.
So far, we've discovered an old farmer named, a nickname, Gollum. His real nickname is Mike Precious. The soldier who fell down a rabbit hole in basic training, forever known as Alice.
Nice.
And Bagel. A guy sits and stares with his mouth wide open. Genius.
That's
so good.
That's so good.
Oi, Bagel. Why'd you call him that? Because he's just... Keep coming in, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Great work, guys. Sam in Sheffield. What's he saying, since?
Sam says, I'm a fibre engineer and work with a guy called Jack. He's always cutting our cables short, so we now call him Jack the Snipper.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
Great stuff. That's great. I'm not even going to make any more. Don't go. About counties and things.
No.
What are you going to go with there? Go.
Richard the Postie in Huddersfield says, one of my best mates is called Paul Kempster, whose initials PK became KP. KP became KP Nuts.
Yes.
And now we call him Old Dry Roast.
I love the evolution.
I thought
you
were just going to go to, yeah, right. This is Mike from up north.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mike. I used to have a foreman we used to call the balloon.
Mm.
The reason was, whenever he gave anyone a job to do, he'd always say, don't let me down.
Beautiful.
Keep coming in, 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Please get involved with the world's greatest and longest running and most original great nickname strand. This is the home of it. This is where it started. Don't believe all the Australian radio imitators or all the other guys. This is the home of the game right here. This is like Wembley.
X.
Whoa. Vauxhall are having a special event from the 14th to the 29th of February with an extra £500 saving on petrol cars.
Really? What about electric?
Wow! An extra £2,000 allowance on electric cars with 4.9% APR representative.
Including new Corsa?
Yes.
Astra?
Yes.
Mokka?
Yes!
Hey, where are you going?
Vauxhall retailer. See ya!
Personal contract purchase, electric vehicles only. T&C subject to status and availability, 18 plus, Stellantis Financial Services. At end of agreement, there are three options. Part exchange, pay optional final payment to own vehicle or return vehicle.
Radio
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Little Si, what happened with this fox cub?
No, I'm a bit traumatised by it, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, no, I am. Because I've killed a fox.
Unbelievable.
You haven't. You've killed one of a fox's children.
No, yeah.
You haven't killed the fox
at
all.
How did this happen?
Well, because I've got...
You must have been so angry.
I bought a new rifle. And I was just with the infrared sight. And I was looking in my garden.
Looking around.
And I was looking around to acquire targets. And suddenly I seen this little... These eyes flashing from the garden there.
No, you found the cub when it was already in distress, didn't you? Yeah.
Not in distress, he was dead.
Deceased, yeah. He was already deceased.
What happened?
Well, I went to fill up my compost bin.
Yeah.
Can I say, whatever you say incidentally now, yeah? I don't think it's going to make listeners like you more.
No, don't.
Go on, what?
Well, I've got netting over my veg patch.
Yeah.
And it must have just got caught in it.
Oh no, it got snared up in the net.
So you've got netting to stop.
This is the old hedgehog McFlurry syndrome, isn't it?
It's like dolphins with shark nets and things. Yeah. Isn't it?
The hedgehogs in McFlurry containers, didn't they? Exactly, they were getting little heads caught in, like lobster pots.
Sure. And lager rings as well, those plastic lager rings.
That'll get them.
Yeah.
So when did you become aware of this fox?
This morning. This morning, just before I was heading out to work.
You always check your veg patch before work?
No.
Every day, John.
Daily
checks.
Right after I've made my Coleman's mustard.
And then I make my notes fresh.
Can I ask, what are you growing in that veg patch?
Chard.
So when you eat that chard,
all
you're going to be able to think about is a dead fox.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right. If it tastes a little bit, if it's got a slightly lupine tang.
So what did you do with the carcass, Simon? Did you just gather it up and bin it?
And do you know what I like? Quite legitimately, you can ask that question. Yeah. Little Si, where'd you bury the carcass?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
What did you do with the body?
You didn't put it in the compost bin, did you?
No.
That'd be quite good.
What did you do?
Well,
hiking?
Well, I was just getting ready for work, so I was faffing around. I was thinking about getting a spade, and then I thought, well, I better get some gloves on, and so I got some rubber gloves on, and then I just couldn't bear to do it.
So
it
you phoned...
Wait a second. Guys. Traditionally, there are three ways, as we know, that you can bury...
Yeah.
Pets.
Yeah.
Which is, there's Army, Navy, or RAF, isn't there? The three styles of burial.
Yeah.
Army in the ground.
Sure.
Right.
Navy down the loo.
Okay. Yeah.
RAF out of a moving vehicle.
What? That's
a bit much. The three burials. They're the three burial systems.
No, but Simon likes his car too much to try a number three.
For instance, cats, you couldn't give an RAF. When your cat passes, you can't give it, or a large dog.
Or Navy.
But a hamster, certainly.
Not a Great Dane. That'd be out of question.
Can get an RAF burial. Yeah. So what did you do?
You can't put a fox down the toilet.
No, exactly.
What did you do? What did you do, Simon?
Well, I had to get... I've got...
Don't tell me you got a man it.
Yeah, you've called it. Someone.
No, because I didn't have time. I couldn't either. I felt a bit sick.
You got a man it.
Yes.
You got a gardener. Well,
who do you call to get rid of a fox?
I don't know.
Sorry. Fox. Sorry.
Fox Buster.
Yeah, of course. It doesn't work. Yeah.
If he has a trouble with its spirit, you could call Ghostbusters. Meantime, though. So who'd you call?
I don't know. A guy, pest control guy. Emily did it.
Right.
Emily, my wife did it.
And how much did that cost you?
£100.
Woo!
Pick up a fox?
Oh, no, you've got more money than sex.
No,
that's ridiculous.
You could have burned that
yourself.
I didn't
want to do it.
You could have buried it.
Oh, no.
You could easily have buried it. The only thing that's going to dig it up is a fox. And what a surprise it'll get.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Hey, guys.
Yeah?
A few little bits for you.
Go on, then.
First up, I'm afraid the Home Office is keeping no data at all on asylum seekers who convert to Christianity.
Really?
This means we've got some rogue Christians.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, let's just hope we don't suddenly get an influx of people in this, what's supposedly a Christian society, reminding us of its values. That's all the government needs.
Oh, it'd be embarrassing, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's all in it. It's a bunch of active, fundamental Christians.
Oh,
talking
man.
About the eye of a needle.
Yeah.
Rich people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Easier to enter the kingdom of heaven and all that.
Welcoming strangers.
Yes, this is my message. Love one another. You know, all that.
Yeah.
That's
turning
all.
Turning the other cheek.
Yeah, it's all going the other mile.
It'll confuse everyone. Like,
seriously, it caused chaos in this Christian society, Gav.
Absolutely.
Especially
right.
With, you know. So please, can I just say to the Home Office, let's keep an eye on that.
Keep a lid on that, yeah. Dangerous.
That's all this Christian society needs, some genuine Christians coming in.
It's a potential powder keg.
Christ alive, yeah. Quite literally. Right, let's move on. Next up, this is number two.
Yeah.
Fans, I'm afraid, have turned on Beckham.
Have they?
Yes.
Which fans?
David Beckham. Great question, Gav. Great question. David Beckham's Inter Miami Football Club faces investigation by the Hong Kong government after its most famous player, Lionel Messi, failed to take part in a match over the weekend.
The government are asking.
No, this is in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It's Inter Miami.
Yeah.
Played a Hong Kong 11. This is very similar to the Queen Elizabeth aircraft carrier not showing up.
Oh, yes.
You know, again, it's a friendly.
It's the same area.
That's like our Messi.
It's soft power, isn't
like,
it? Yeah.
It's like the Messi of the Royal Navy, but we had this yesterday.
Yeah.
It's exactly the right parallel, isn't
it?
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely,
Queen Elizabeth not turning up to NATO manoeuvres. It is like Messi not turning up to a friendly in Hong Kong.
Very similar.
You know, anyway, they all started booing Beckham, but if they turned on Beckham, but I'm thinking what he should do is Messi's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, he just play Miley Cyrus in there. She's got to be cheaper. Beyonce will be cheaper.
Just as much publicity, just as many fans.
They'll be just as happy.
Absolutely.
Stick Beyonce
right.
in midfield.
Absolutely.
Maybe with Rihanna.
Definitely.
Put
Eminem in there.
No, he couldn't afford him.
No.
But certainly Katy Perry between the uprights.
Absolutely.
She's
right.
She's got the eye of a tiger.
She could move like a cat, no question.
Absolutely right, Kevin. My, we're solving problems here, aren't we? Last up, the forests of Africa are facing, I'm afraid, a glut of gorillas. Because
what? Too many gorillas?
Yeah, because essentially they're not really, I mean, I know bushmeat and all that, but they haven't got anything that's like cash on them.
Right.
Remember, you see a rhino,
that's like
that rhino's literally got a briefcase with 80 grand in it.
Okay,
it is,
but
bushmeat.
Yeah, it's
you know,
not an international
no, it's
demand.
Not, it's not. It's
yeah.
not.
Wow.
It's
so
not,
there are too many gorillas.
Won't make you
How
more
many
potent.
Is too many
But
gorillas?
I want there to be like 50,000 of them in
no,
one
there
forest.
Is, Gav. No, Gav, there is. It's
really?
Ridiculous. Yeah, you can't move from.
Really?
And the worst thing about gorillas is they haven't learnt.
I want them to build this. I want them to build a city.
They lost this one. So still when they see humans, they alpha ape it. They look at us and they don't realise.
They don't like it,
for God's sake, guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're not saying act like chimps and to have a tea party, but for Christ's sake, you've lost this one. Stop looking all leery. You know, they approach me and go, don't catch their eyes. Yeah, don't catch their eyes.
Yeah, they get offended.
Yeah, no.
Just get over it.
Yeah, like wearing the hoops in a Rangers pub. You know, you're like, oh.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Anyway, despite a powerful 200-kilo frame and a name meaning big head, the great ape is calm as he munches on eucalyptus with half a dozen iPhones pointed his way. Mm. And again, listen, Rangers say his serenity is only punctuated by tensions over his preference for one female in the... Oh, sorry, Forest Rangers. Sorry.
Right. Oh, you thought it was like...
I caught that completely wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, different. I'm just saying there's loads of them. 83936. What's your solution to that? How would you use a silverback gorilla at home?
Pallbearers. I'd use them in a funeral home. They're so strong.
Genius. What, just one?
No, six of them.
X. With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Obviously, when I said to have like a mindless simian, well, not mindless simian, but a simian like a silverback gorilla, what they could do instantly, the little size job.
Yeah.
They lit up, didn't it? I mean, I didn't even think of it myself, that would just become a feed.
Yeah.
But actually, its fingers probably a bit too wide for the sliders, unless we adapted them.
Some great suggestions, though.
Yeah, someone's saying, just door stuff. Sorry, this is the forest of Africa facing a glut of gorillas.
Too many gorillas.
Too many gorillas. I mean, they are quite rare, especially the silverback. We've got a few western lowlands in London Zoo at the moment. But I'm thinking, gorilla door staff, says Carlin Wigan, that would be great.
Mm. Sure would.
Really kicking ass. Just moving through the crowd, kicking ass.
Everyone getting the hell out of the way.
Someone else saying a caddy, Simon Littlehampton, caddy for all four players.
But for all four. Just carrying all four bags the whole time.
They're so strong. Someone saying just robbing banks with them. Just send them in to rob banks.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, easier said. I mean, what, they go in and now what? Someone else saying, Gav was saying rugby league.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, there's a big lad there.
The bloody hell's that?
Big lad in the centre's there for old Kingston Rovers.
He looks a bit weird.
He looks... He's from powering through on the vortex, crushing his skull.
He's from Castleford.
I tell you what, I tell you something, though. Might not be hard enough.
No, that's
honestly,
true.
It's harder lads than that. Seriously, what have you seen there, Suds?
No on this, but it says, hey, TJ, I think you could use gorillas for car breakdown recovery. I'd love to see one just pulling a car along the M25.
Yeah, without a recovery truck. Yeah, I like that.
Just on his back.
Yeah, carrying it back.
Great.
Certainly a hot hatch.
Sure.
Carry no problem.
Sure, yeah. Another suggestion, just plastering.
I would actually like to see a gorilla driving a van.
I would, of course, yeah.
Quite one of those small vans. Those tiny, like...
The little ones, yeah.
Those little Honda ones you used to get, yeah.
Looked like a little loaf
really
of bread.
Unpacking itself.
Tiny
from
those,
a van.
Right? Yeah.
Plastering,
but I think there'd be a lot of mess.
Also, the plastering, they wouldn't like that.
No.
They wouldn't like that. That's because a lot of people.
See them off, yeah.
They wouldn't want people to know that that is quite easy.
Zookeepers.
It's genius. That's absolute genius.
That's really good.
That's really good idea.
Yeah, it's great.
Zookeepers.
Yeah.
Or hunting ivory poachers.
Yes.
Right.
Beautiful.
Suddenly the ivory poachers suddenly realise they got a gorilla on their trail.
Yeah, and you get an alliance formed between gorilla and elephant.
That really put a cat among the pigeons. Well, it would put a gorilla among the
poachers. Elephants. Yeah, yeah.
Put a gorilla amongst the rhinos.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Yeah. Mm. Suds, what have you seen that you like?
Robin Oxford says, never mind a citizen army, how about a gorilla army?
Fantastic.
Get the Russians thinking.
Absolutely fantastic.
Man, can you imagine
loads
that in the trenches?
Horseback with tabards.
Oh!
Yeah. Oh!
Rah!
Yeah.
You'd be running. You'd
It'd be
running.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You'd be terrifying.
I think I've seen that in Planet of the Apes. I'm a bit.
I know, but
like,
I just.
In a tank, though, so.
Referee.
A tank.
Running the line.
With his head poking out of a tank.
Certainly running the line.
Definitely.
Referee, definitely.
Yeah.
No question.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, a gorilla on horseback for
also,
referee.
With
yeah,
VAR
yeah.
taking over a lot of it, you know, a gorilla could handle that. Mm. They can't be any more, you know.
No.
A lot of them probably prove a lot brighter than a lot of referees I've seen recently. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that now. I don't mind if any refs are listening.
Mm. Stephen York says, what about dentists, gorilla dentists?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, that'd be that's great. A ridiculous idea.
No, it'd be all right. You could just put a side part on his hair, smarten him up a bit, get a white coat on.
What, one of those sort of glasses with the magnifying things there?
Definitely, yeah.
It'd be weird, though, as it lent
Definitely.
In. someone has said they'd love to see gorillas as referees and linesmen in Sunday League football.
Beautiful.
It'd be really good when the coach arrived and they all got out.
Oh, man.
Just through the windows, just smash.
The troop of gorillas, yeah.
Use a gorilla as a pilot. Certainly autopilots do most of the work.
Yeah.
You could have a couple of gorillas. Certainly one silverback up there.
Mm. Riot police, says Stooby. That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
You put helmets on them, yeah. Give them a few truncheons.
Community police officers. Can I just say, that is so insulting, yeah, to the skill set of silverback gorillas. No, I'm joking. I am joking, all right? Dinner ladies at troublesome secondary schools.
Train them up as masseurs. They give you a right good rub down, says Daz
James,
in Chester.
Unfortunately, James has come up with the suggestion it's going to enrage everyone. They would have a role in the scaffold world.
I mean, it's in their wheelhouse, isn't it?
It really is.
They can climb, they can throw stuff, they can shout.
And you could hand it over to the pros when it comes to tightening the brackets.
Yeah, right, for the details. Yeah,
for the plan and the design. But my God, just get the poles up there.
Oh, man.
Christ alive.
Planks and poles up there in seconds.
I'm almost sad it can't happen. I'm almost sad this is a flight of fancy.
It could happen.
Yes.
It could happen.
Do you think then if lady gorillas walk past downstairs, they'd go mad?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
In quite an old school way.
Sure, well, they're swinging all over the place, showing off. Yeah,
they'd be swinging, Gav.
Yeah.
But it'd be quite old school. And there's nothing we could do about that in terms of political correctness. You couldn't stop a gorilla and it is lady gorilla because she probably gives as good as she gets.
Mm.
She probably goes swinging in there.
Sure.
Right.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, utterly no exception. Gav assures me he has some sticklers.
I mean,
stickling away in his right little slot. I think this was a bit unfair.
Well, I did too, and I first read it, but then the details, it gets quite interesting. So the hero today is the Guinness Book of World Records. Well, because they're enforcing the rule that rules is rules. So 8 years ago, a man called Richard Plou, 47, a council worker from southwest France, decided to try and beat the world record for tallest matchstick model. In 2009, Lebanese man Toufik Daher completed an Eiffel Tower model from matches and set a world record for the height, which was 6 metres 53 centimetres, or 21.4 feet. So,
yeah.
Richard set to work in 2015, 8 years ago. He put 4,200 hours into it.
This is not the hero, incidentally.
Gav
doesn't like this guy.
No, wait. So he finished this year, 8 years later, by adding the 900th match to his Eiffel Tower, which stood 7.19 metres, 23.6 feet, 2 feet at least taller than the previous record. As he proudly waited for Guinness to measure the height and give him his record, they responded that they couldn't even measure it, as it didn't qualify. When he started building the tower, Richard had bought the matches from the supermarket as he went, and he used the red-tipped ones,
yes.
And he was snipping the ends off before he was sticking the panels together to put the tower
together. This guy didn't do it, though, did he? He didn't do that.
Well, he started that way,
but then
he took a shortcut. He got hold of the matchmaking company and said, could you just send me the sticks without the tips?
Right.
So he didn't have to cut them off.
Okay, guys.
Go on.
You can buy bags of those at any modelling shop because of matchstick model makers.
Right.
I've known loads of them.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
They make carousels, gypsy caravans, clocks.
Anyway.
And galleons. They're the big three.
Sure.
So the written rules about matchstick model records in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Got to be real matches.
They have to be commercially available matches, not ones that they don't sell on the shelf. And they have to be the brown-tipped ones, not the safety matches.
Safety matches, yeah.
And You can't do anything to the match other than scrape the tip off. You can't cut it shorter.
No.
You can't cut the end off. And he'd been cutting them off and then thought, sod this, I'm going to see if I can just get them without the tips.
I mean, Gav, can I just tell you something? Yeah, traditionally what the way to do is you buy a big box of farmhouse matches.
Uh-huh.
Then you just take...
Oh, the longer ones, yeah.
Just the longer ones because they've got a brown tip.
Yeah.
And then you just light the lot up at once and then quickly douse them with water.
That's what was my suggestion. Yeah. Like, instead of scraping one match at a time.
That's what they do.
Would have driven you
and
mad.
And they've all been used, because that's the really good matchstick things where you can see every model's been used. So you wait for that. It can be a bit uneven, but honestly, if you just get the water on them or blow them out fast, that's done.
Well, Mark McKinley, Director of Central Record Services at Guinness, said, "It is the job of our record management team to be thorough and fastidious in reviewing evidence to make sure the playing field is level for everyone attempting a Guinness World Record title. However, it does appear we might have been a bit heavy-handed with this application. I'm saying no. Rules is rules. Stick to your guns. Because everyone else, particularly Tufik Daher, who must be laughing his head off, he had to undo every match himself to build his tower.
Rule but fair, Gaffer.
Exactly.
It's always weird.
Yeah.
I've received the Guinness Book of Records every Christmas since 1970 from my father, right?
Yes.
And I've got most... I mean, I'm missing a few of when I've been at, like, granny's house, wherever I've left. So there's a few that are sort of scattered around the place when I've been away for Christmases.
Mm.
But I've got most of them. I would say, a good 50 of them.
Right.
Ow. Yeah. Now, this year, my dad put... he always gives me Guinness Book of Records and a yo-yo for Christmas. Always has done.
Yeah.
And this year, he put a card in and said... He said, John, are we in the Guinness Book of Records for this? Do you think it's the longest? Do you think this is a record?
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
And who else can prove it?
Very good point. I've got nearly all the British way. You know, I don't know if you've got to have them all to prove it. The fact is, it's unlikely he'd just miss out the odd year, though. I mean, they're all signed by him in there with the year in.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? I think I'm in with a shout.
Let's salute the Guinness Book of World Records. Well, for at least giving Richard his wife's front room back.
Yeah. Well done, Richard. Let's salute the Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I salute the Guinness Book of World Records.
Rules is rules.
Let's tighten it up and get the Guinness Book of World Records back to what it was rather than all this frivolous stuff, though. Yeah. Come on, guys.
At Barclays, we know money can be tricky to navigate. We're here to help you find your way around it. Barclays Life Skills gives you the skills and knowledge to help you become more confident with money. So whether it's learning to keep track of your spending, or interview tips to help you secure that new job, we've got you covered. Join the millions we've helped so far. Search Barclays Life Skills. Barclays, make money work for you.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, great news for people who take loads of Viagra.
Oh.
Really? What's great about it?
Reduces the risk of Alzheimer's.
You're kidding.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that scientifically proven?
Not
proven.
Really. Not really.
Proven.
Not really. But who cares, eh? Men who take Viagra may reduce their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease.
Right. I mean, so, do you have to do it every day?
Yes.
Really? Every day?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to make a... Like, there's one excuse to... No, actually, I'm not going to say anything.
Carefully.
Tread very carefully there.
Sure.
Yeah. Those who've been prescribed the drug were less likely to develop a degenerative brain condition than a control group.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but how do you know that that's the Viagra and not what it's enabling them to do that's keeping
that
them
might
younger?
Might have therapeutic properties in itself.
That the actual endorphins released by pleasure, pleasure. Yeah, right. Where's the control? How do they know?
Yeah, right.
Have they asked some people who because they're more likely to be, what's the expression? I suppose, bang at it.
Yes.
Virile.
Well, no. No, but what I'm saying is, if it's that age when, in later days when it's,
more research needed,
yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's the Everest argument, isn't it? Why did you do it? Because it was there. Which Edmund Hillary said was why he conquered Everest. But I guess, if for someone who's perhaps wouldn't, but they now would with Viagra.
Right, right.
And
well, they say...
As I said to the vicar.
they've always said staying active generally.
Yes.
is good for staving off the symptoms of Alzheimer's.
Let's transgender around it. We're in mixed company, aren't we? But one knows exactly what one's saying. Right, next up. Magic mushrooms, LSD, and other psychoactive drugs may help people to improve people's sex lives.
Really?
Right.
So that helps with Alzheimer's too, I guess.
Yeah, so is there then a connection?
So basically, I mean, the papers are saying just load up with psychedelics, whack a Viagra back.
Yeah.
Right, this is a crazy scene we're creating here.
What is this newspaper you're reading?
Basically, it's saying, you know, if you're...
What's good for a cold? Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I just want to say... No, what I'm saying, if you're still going to...
Wow, the broadsheets are very broad-minded today.
Oh, yeah, the broad-minded sheets.
I want to say it's great news for the Woodstock generation.
Yes.
It really is.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 fan.
Radio X.
We all know, yeah, that a Jaffa cake is a cake.
Yes.
And we all know that,
it's a famous
that
dispute,
was proved
yeah.
at the European court,
yes.
right?
Yes.
They made... Everyone knows this, but I'm going to go for it in case about five listeners that don't know it out of the 1 million, nearly.
And there's no point arguing with it.
Although that was down a bit last time. Could you please stay with us or tell someone to join the happy band?
Yeah.
Now.
Mm.
The debate of whether a Jaffa cake is a cake or a biscuit goes further than afternoon tea etiquette. It's the crux of a tax rule that can cost manufacturers millions. This is because cakes mm-hmm. are perishables.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Short-term perishable.
Mm-hmm.
So they are zero rated for VAT, which is
20%. Yep.
Wow. You've got to get involved in that.
Yeah.
But confectionery and chocolate-covered biscuits are not.
Yep.
Right.
So Jaffa Cake, McVitie's, to prove it, they made a giant Jaffa Cake.
Yes.
The size of a cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which they have still not put on the shelves.
I know. I really want one now.
Yeah, and they took that to the European court.
Yeah, to look, it's a
to
cake.
To prove it, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing the things the British government have hung on to that Europe ruled about, isn't it?
Yeah, which we could always do anyway.
Do you know
anyway.
What I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, they've ruled that one out. There's still the VAT law. No, we like things that they did that gave us more money.
Mm. Yes.
But what we're getting rid of is the things that sort of benefited people.
Mm.
But what we did like is tax.
I'm sure one of the distinctions in that case was that a biscuit starts off hard and goes soft.
Mm-hmm.
And a cake starts off soft and then goes hard.
We're back to all the stuff we were talking about earlier.
Oh, right, I got you.
About dementia and stuff.
Sure.
Cakes are zero rated. So a sports nutrition company has become the latest manufacturer to fall foul of HM Customs and Revenue, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah, why?
I don't like the fact that they rolled the two in together. I like the two separate entities, the revenue and customs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, why have they done that?
It's just too much in one place. Also, I like the fact customs obviously have that power.
Mm.
I always think they should be doing as a separate unit a lot of stuff the old bill are tasked with.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like a sent, yeah, like smugglers.
Sure.
That's the customs man. Yeah.
Counter smuggling
right,
units.
Right.
Well, I'm sure they have them, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, really, if the old bill played it right, they'd just end up doing motoring and a bit of burglary. and that'd be it.
Yeah.
You know, because everything else comes under contraband.
Yeah.
You know, like if there's any contraband in the house, no, it's customs. I don't even think they need search warrants and stuff. Mm. I think they can literally, if you're just watching telly quite peacefully, they can come and join you.
Oh.
Yeah.
If they sort of have reason to believe that something
it's
might...
It's an old bylaw, but
they
can,
might
they
have
can,
something
yeah.
they brought back from holiday we're investigating. I honestly think they can sit down and literally enjoy Christmas dinner with you.
Yeah.
Sure.
If they think there's even a quality, even a sweetie.
And you can't protest. There's no recourse to the law.
No,
you just
no,
put
no,
up with
all,
it.
No, yeah. That's who should be running Britain. Customs. Anyway, in 1991, which we all know, the McVitie's, they successfully defended in court. But at the moment, some of these sports nutrition snacks, they're saying that's a cake.
Oh, yeah.
Because it goes stale. Flapjacks, for instance. What would you say, since? Biscuit or cake? Biscuit or cake?
A flapjack.
Oh, that's tricky because I don't think. No, that's neither.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
they're kind of chewy, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, listen.
It's made of oats.
Yeah.
I guess it's nearer a biscuit then.
Okay, sponges, meringues, flapjacks, marshmallow, tea cakes, they are zero rated.
Mm.
But cereal and muesli bars and Florentines are charged at the standard rate. Question is flapjacks. Some of those cereal bars, they're starting to get quite flapjackish.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this sounds like a load of flapjackery, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it must be so hard sitting there going, but is it flapjack or is it a muesli? Is it a sports bar? I don't know.
Sports bar.
The answer is, leave it on a counter at a baker's and see if people go, and the flapjack, please. See what people say.
Right. Yeah.
Pensioners.
Yeah.
Let the pensioners
decide. Yeah.
That's never a cake.
Radio X.
Lots of stuff about the Royals today, obviously, the paper.
Still
William
it,
will not deputise for King. King will keep going.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's not going to deputise. It's actually, I found out, it's because he said he'd rather not do anything. When he becomes king, you know, we've always had William the Conqueror.
Yeah, right.
William of Orange.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what sort of title he's going to go for.
Oh.
No, because it'd be nice to have a king that had a title, like Ivan the Terrible.
Mm.
It wasn't quite... It's a bad translation.
Right, yeah,
It really means Ivan the Awesome. Did you know Ivan the Terrible wanted to marry Queen Elizabeth?
No.
What?
Not Queen Elizabeth the Second, the First.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a union proposed.
Which was laughed at.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. He killed his own son.
Did he?
Yeah, in an argument.
And he was a good dancer, though, apparently, wasn't he?
I bet Charles knows the feeling. But he killed his own son, whacked him around the head.
Wow.
With a big hammer.
Wow.
Yeah, he's having an argument. Broke his heart. He's never the same after that.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, you'd kind of regret that.
Very interesting figure.
Sure.
Very interesting figure from the 16th century Russia, if you're a fan of that.
Wow.
But anyway, I was thinking, what should...
Well, he's not going to be William the Arst, is he?
No.
No.
William the Lackadaisical.
Yes, I like that.
Right.
I like that.
You think? William the Indolent.
Yeah, that works.
That's good, isn't it? William the Apathetic.
William the Relaxed.
It's good.
Yeah.
William the Idle.
That sounds more traditional.
William the Sluggish.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
William
of... There's a theme here.
Okay. How about this? This sounds quite convincing.
Go on.
William Fainéant.
What does
Fainéant? You know, they just put a sort of like Cœur de Lion. They just put something French after it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It means a sort of faint-hearted, doesn't it?
Not the lion heart.
Yeah. Faint heart, yes.
Opposite of a man of action.
Yeah. Fainéant. William the Loafer might be quite good.
I like that.
Anyway, it's beside the point. He's not going to deputise for King Charles.
Okay.
King Charles is going to go on. He's also met Harry, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. Passed up the difference.
Yep.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Imagine any time Harry enters, they put that on. just to set the mood. 83936, if you know someone who's listening and you want me to provide the same service, or Sunter, perhaps you can select who you want as your apologist.
Okay.
Please, 83936.
At Park Dean Resorts, we're big on holiday home ownership. With 56 holiday parks across the UK, there's a big variety of stunning locations to choose from. And a big range of holiday homes to suit every budget. Free pitch fees until 2025 means we're really big on value. So join our community of over 20,000 holiday homeowners, enjoying all the big advantages that come with owning a Park Dean holiday home. Search Park Dean Resorts Ownership today. Offer subject to eligibility at selected parks.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
I've just apologised to my friend Harry for rubbing it in and being a little bit vitriolic about the fact I actually went to do some active socialism down at number 10, unlike him who just entertains the... What am I raising it for? I'm sorry, Harry.
Yeah.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Since you've got an apology, haven't you? It's not the hardest word. Go on.
I'm sorry to Martin in my yoga class who was next to me this morning and who I accidentally smacked in the face.
How hard?
Was it a closed fist, Sons?
No, it was during a twist on the floor and I was looking to my left and my right arm went behind me and
sure.
I just hit him.
Yeah.
Was it deliberate?
Was it a bit deliberate?
Accidental.
Was it? So?
Has he been annoying you a bit?
Was he in your space?
It was a very, very busy class, to be fair. There was not a lot of room to film.
Okay.
Was it accidental?
Was it though?
Yes, it was.
Was it?
And I'm very sorry.
So I just bought Milton the book, Hands Are Not For Hitting.
Oh.
which Vanessa read him yesterday. Do you know what he did?
What?
Hit the book. Right, guys, first up, sup, Big John. It's tough, John, actually, but I'll take that, Adam. I'd like to apologise to my wife. I woke up early this morning to leave for work. and I realised my bull mastiff had left a not-so-little present in the kitchen. As I slipped out the door, I heard her get up, turn the lights off, I got in the van and I continued my day.
Yeah.
Knowing full well what you'd left there.
Are you sure?
She's going to be so cheesed off. Adam then texts again. He says, John, the strong. I like that.
Mm.
It's me again, Adam from Wigan. I thought I'd mention my wife's name. Anita, because it's quite an integral part of the story.
Of the
apology.
Yeah.
Love the show, by the way. I don't let my daughters listen as I use quite a lot of your comedy to pretend it's mine.
That's genius.
Genius. Terrible. Believe me.
You're very warm with your comedy.
Yeah, I'm warm with them. I'm a generous man. I hope you accept that apology, Anita. He just had to get to work. That's all. And once you get involved, as I know from clearing up, that's not a quick process.
Mm.
Although, can I tell you now, yeah?
Yeah.
Quite cheap coal scuttles. Yeah?
Mm.
You know those coal shovels?
Yeah.
Those little shovel things?
Yeah.
They've got a really sharp edge on them.
Yeah.
They're not a bad thing for poo removal.
Oh, they work well, do they?
They really get under it. I mean, you've got to hose them down afterwards and keep that outside.
Yeah.
But for getting that primary scoop.
Sure, getting the first action under it. Yeah.
What you don't want to do is if you know there's like an empty garden two down or something, is then use that as some kind of slingshot, some kind of trebuchet.
Like a badminton shot.
No, don't, because I had a building site next door for years. And it was just amazing.
Did it make
the sound? Well, no, but
if you get a bit of a flick on it.
But I think we're going to put it now in a bag or something. But I knew there's this huge, overgrown area of rubble.
When nature would bring it all together.
When nature
would
bring its course. Exactly right, Gavin. But can I apologise to the builders that must have found, a year's worth, two a day, 600.
Quite a high incidence.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. But apologies to everyone involved in that. Sons, what have you seen there that proves once again it's not the hardest word, is it?
Sorry seems to be.
Don't let it be. I disagree, Elton. Mm. I'm sorry. Go on.
There's no name on this.
Yeah.
But it says, I'd like to apologise to my wife for telling her I was going to work only to actually go to the pub to watch Chelsea. Also, this is happening tonight as well. So, and she still has no idea. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, though.
Yeah, anytime Chelsea are involved in anything, there's only one way the apologies should be going. That's from the club to the fan. I don't know about Pochettino saying, be patient.
Yeah.
You spent $1 billion. Sorry. You've had a season. Sorry, half a season. Hi, gang. I'd like to say sorry to everyone around me if I seem to act incredibly tired all the time. Being a trophy husband is exhausting. I bet it is, because then you've got to look good all the time.
Yeah.
Even the school run.
Sure.
You know, you've got to make sure you're looking at your best.
Got to get your manicure in, your hair done. It's not easy.
Radio X.
Every day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, and I'm going to go back to the billing here, he told me he's got an NFL star.
Yeah.
Yeah, who will leave us asking,
yes,
tight end or wide receiver?
Absolutely right.
In the Woodman's heroic little slot.
So after the sad news of him passing in the last few days, the hero today, Johnny, is Carl Weathers, the actor. He was born in January 1948 in New Orleans, Louisiana. His dad was a day laborer, so I'm going to presume they didn't have any money. So you turn up somewhere,
Gavin, we all
you get hired for one day, yeah, and that's it. Anyway,
that's just what we are getting.
At 13 years old, Carl won an athletic scholarship to a private school. As an all-round athlete, he did everything. He did judo, wrestling, boxing, football. Gymnastics. After school, he did college football at Long Beach City College in California in 1966, but he didn't play that year because he had an ankle injury. But he did play after he transferred to San Diego State University as a linebacker, and they won their divisional, it was called the Pasadena Bowl, with an 11-0 record. They won every single game. He also graduated with a theater arts degree as he was ready into acting, but he wasn't finished with football because he went straight into the Oakland Raiders in 1970. He played 7 games that year. He was released by the coach, Joe Madden, the famous coach, because he was, quote, you're just too sensitive.
Really, is that what
I have no idea why he said that, but anyway.
Just kept getting injured, probably.
He then played in Canada until 1973, and then he gave it up for acting. He'd already done loads of extra work while he was playing football, and he'd picked up small parts in a couple of blaxploitation movies. He was an MP in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He was in Kung Fu, the TV series. He was in Cannon. He was in Starsky and Hutch.
Cannon.
I know. And then in 1979, he did the Rocky movie. He played his most famous role, Apollo Creed. And then he did Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. That took him all the way to 1985.
Just killed in Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
And the Rocky movies led to...
Which provided Rocky's actual motivation, wasn't it?
Right.
For taking down Lundgren.
Yes, that's right. It got twisted into another arc, didn't it? Yeah.
What was Lundgren's name in it?
His name was Ivan Drago.
Oh, Ivan Drago.
I believe.
I tell you so, though.
It was about to mime it, wasn't it?
Gav, I can't believe you answered it.
I never remember these things.
Best charade today.
Ivan Drago.
Yeah, right.
So those movies led him into some other massive... He was in Force 10 from Navarone, what I call a Saturday night movie.
Was he in Predator as Chester?
Yes, he was in Predator. He was in Action Jackson. He was also in my personal favourite role.
I think he was Action Jackson.
He was. He was in Happy Gilmore as Derek Chubbs Peterson, which is a hilarious film. He was also Combat Carl in Toy Story. But in the Predator movie... In Predator, they all go to a jungle to fight this alien.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
It's not a spoiler alert. It's a really old film.
Easy, because sometimes you know... Have you seen Predator?
Yes, I have.
No, but she's quick to say.
But I have a theory that I reckon there was a bet between Carl... between Arnie, Jesse Ventura, Bill Duke, and all the lads, I reckon they had a bet on whose biceps would quiver and glisten in the light better while firing a machine gun into the undergrowth. Because they all had these really weird sleeveless combat fatigues.
Yeah, why would they
You
do
could
that?
See their arms and their chest.
There was also that guy...
There's no body armour or anything.
Who was the guy in it who he was... He was shaving? Was it Apollo Creed? And he broke the he breaks the razor... On his face. It's like a blue Bic disposable.
It could be.
Or
I can't
Gillette
remember.
Disposable.
It's either him or Bill Duke.
He goes, you're bleeding. He goes, ain't got time to bleed. Do you remember that? That's a great moment.
Anyway, Carl.
I use that every day.
I think torso-wise, Carl was giving Arnie a run for his money. In
he's
that
a much
movie.
He's
an amazing looking
Miles
physique.
Better body.
Amazing.
Miles better
physique.
Body. I much prefer his body.
Oh, yeah. I love Carl's body.
Which man has your favourite body in Predator? But you can answer 83936.
I mean, Jesse, the body Ventura. He looked pretty good.
He had a great body.
He had a great body. But Carl, you can't really fight with Carl. Especially when the Mardus 50 cal is firing away.
Oh, I love
and
that.
The pecs,
and all the minigun.
The pecs, exactly. The little minigun? Rotating minigun, yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know what that one is.
Okay,
but
I've always wanted to have a go with one.
It's called minigun, I think.
I've always wanted to take down foliage.
Yes, just cutting it all down.
Just
yes.
to see what it's like, because they do it in Predator. They
do.
They just take
it
out
just
of the foliage. And then it goes...
It does, it winds
at the
down.
83936, who has the best body?
R.I.P. Let's salute Carl Weathers.
Who has the best body in any Carl Weathers film?
Yes.
Stallone's good, but he's quite slight. He's quite slight.
He is, yeah.
83936, that's the debate.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Now you get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to stay in touch, email johnny@radiox.com.
Radio X. I'm a bad girl, but my takeout bad. What you need, dude? I could cop a taco platter. And it ain't only restaurants anymore. We can go bananas at the grocery store. And my sushi train is on loop.